I really am excited about this word. I'm so excited I loosened my tie and rolled up my sleeves because we're about to get to work a little bit in the word. And I really believe that it's a word not only for our graduates, but for our grandparents and everybody in between. Because we are called to live a life of faith. And that faith means we've got to be, those words up there, strong and courageous. And so as we think of a time in graduates, as I'm going to talk to you some today, but I'm really talking to all of us about what does it mean to stay courageous in a world that tells us to do otherwise. So I'm going to ask you, as you are either turning your Bible open to Joshua chapter 1 or you are turning your Bible on to Joshua chapter 1, make sure you get Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at this graduation of a man who the most important thing God himself tells this graduate is, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. So, Joshua chapter 1, would you do me a favor? Turn to the person next to you and tell them, be strong and courageous. All right, somebody else, one more time, be strong and courageous. Look them in the eye. Be strong and courageous. Good. We need to hear it more often than we do. We're going to talk about the why, the how, and the what. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to be reading in the NIV, so I invite you to follow along, and I really invite you to read it for yourself and let the Spirit of God, let's picture Joshua about to enter into a new season of life. God is speaking these words to him. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And that word promise is important. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That's not about them. That's about God's promise. My promise is going to come true. No one's going to stop it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. In other words, there's going to be a bunch of people that I want to give this to, but they're not going to be willing to go unless someone is strong and courageous first, and that's going to be you, Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. We're about to hear how you are courageous right here. The world doesn't say this is how you do it, but this is how you do it. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That definition is what I had for you, what I promised, you're going to get it. That's success, that's prosperity. Have I not commanded you? What does he say next? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. In other words, there's going to be some reasons to be terrified. Do not be discouraged. In other words, there are going to be some reasons to be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As we are looking at this word, and as we're thinking about Graduate Sunday, our graduates and all of us tend to relive some of our school stories. We think a little bit about the days. Most of us tell the fun stories. But let's be honest. We got some stories in school that are a little bit more of when we, got in trouble, right? I mean, we did a few things that didn't work. Anybody here during their school career get in trouble because someone dared you to do something? You ever get in trouble because someone's telling you to do something? You knew it was wrong, and you weren't going to do it until they said, what's the matter? Scared? You ever do that? Come on, am I the only one that happened to? Someone confess. Just testify in the house. Right? All right, there you go. Okay, so my story, I'm in third grade, and I'm in the back of the bus going to school. And we all know what happens in the back of the bus, right? Trouble. Trouble's always in the back of the bus. I'm in the back of the bus. Now, it's third grade, and like we've got the Copa going on for soccer for our hemisphere here, I've got, I'm pretty big into soccer. I'm a third grade Lionel Messi. You know, it's going pretty well for me. not really. And my arch rival in third grade was this kid named Mark Berger. And Mark beat us on Saturday. Ooh. Oh, I hated it. Beat us. So I'm on the bus, and where am I in the bus? On the back of the bus. So you know this ain't going to go out. In the back of the bus on Saturday, and he's talking some smack. Talking a little trash. Throwing a little shade my way about how my team is and what's going on. So I'm getting a little upset. And I'm thinking, you know, now, just so you know, I was not always this physically imposing in third grade. I was a little smaller back then. So people might have felt a little bit more liberty in third grade to maybe taunt me. So I'm there, and I'm getting a little mad. And I start thinking about, like, maybe I should make this guy be quiet. But I'm starting to go, like, no, why am I going to do that? Until my friend Jeff Wexler said, Sean, you should make him be quiet. Other words, but, you know, I'm giving you the church version. And I'm thinking about it, but I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't. You know, mom's picture is right here in my head, like, you don't do that, Sean. And then Jeff says the words, what, are you scared, Sean? And then I'm in the principal's office. I mean, that's the end of the story. You know, it's just, that's how it goes. Because it's always the principal's office after you fall for that line. You know, here's the irony of that moment. My friend Jeff, was saying, what, are you scared? But the truth is, the whole reason I did what I did was because I was scared. I was scared of what he would think if I didn't do it. I was scared of what all my buddies would think if I didn't do it. Here's the irony of the moment. I did it because I was scared, but it was all in the name of being strong and brave. You see, when Joshua is here and he's facing a challenge, and let's not forget, this promised land's got giants in it, he's got to make a choice of what kind of courage he's going to have in life. It's ironic that in our world, most of what this world says is being brave is really just being fearful and worrying too much about what everybody else thinks around us. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But you see, we've got to be courageous if we're going to live a life of faith. Sometimes we hear about courage and the idea is, well, I don't want to be a wimp. And I want to tell you there's a more important reason to be brave, to be courageous, like God calls Joshua to be, and it's this. You were born to face and conquer giants, and not for your own glory. You're born to do it for him. I want you to get this. Joshua is a person who's already been pretty courageous throughout his life. I mean, after all, the guy did get out of Egypt. He did see the Red Sea split. He did know what it was like to wonder if they were going to die in the desert. He had seen the mountain with the holiness and glory of God. He'd seen a lot. And yet, here he is on the edge of the Jordan, and God's telling him again, be courageous. Well, you see, I think that's important to hear because you and I, we tend to want to be courageous once and then be done. We kind of like the Hollywood version of life where I have one big moment of courage, I battle one big enemy, and then I ride off into the sunset and I'm great for the rest of my life. And we've kind of taken that and made it our faith. Like, I need faith once. Give me faith, like the song said, give me once, and then after that, I don't want to have faith again in life. But let me tell you, what God's word to you and I today, and I believe it, I know it, that God's word, the reason you are here this morning is because God wanted to tell you, be courageous again. Because there's parts of our life where we kind of want to, I was courageous once, I don't want to have courage again. I did that once. God, why are you asking me to do that again? Why is there another leap of faith? Why there's another step? Why can't I be comfortable? Didn't I already go through that? And God would tell you this morning, be strong and courageous. Because last time I checked, the Bible says the just shall continually live by faith. We don't live by it once. We keep living by it. Joshua has already overcome so much, and yet he's in this moment where he's got to face giants again. And God looks at him, God speaks to him and says, Joshua, be strong, be courageous. How many times has a marriage kind of, man, we got through that rough patch. We got through that time. Now we're having another problem. That's it. I'm done. I've tried this so many times. What's God saying? Be strong and courageous again. Don't stop. Don't give up. A life of faith means you got to do it again. You know what? What happens, though? We hate dealing when we've already failed. You know, I don't want to go back and admit I'm wrong, and I've already done that once, and I tried three times. And you know what? Be strong and courageous, because God's not done giving you his promises. And so we have to learn to do that again. I mean, think about Joshua. 38 years before the moment of Joshua chapter 1, he went into the promised land. He went there. God, 38 years ago, said, you should do this. My promises for you are there. But instead of seeing God's promises, all the people saw were the giants. They got back, and although they saw all this good and pleasant land, the only thing they came back and said, that was the conclusion, was, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed, it's all we and us language, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We looked the same to them. And God's saying, how do they look to me? Not so big. How about me? How about my promise? I know you're familiar with your weaknesses and the smallness of your strength and your weaknesses and your ability. How about me, though? Maybe I've got a place for you to go. Maybe I'm the one who's going to defeat them. You see, the people of Israel made a big mistake that you and I make, and it's this. We think that God's promises have no giants to it. We think there are no giants is where God wants us to go. We assume if we're running into a giant, we assume there's a problem, like we missed God. Like somehow we didn't go where God wanted us to go because I'm facing all these giants. And you need to know that the Bible clearly teaches that when you follow God, you go right into the path of a giant. There's no way you came to salvation except seeing the giant issue of your own sin, selfishness, and evil. I mean, you saw it, you confessed it, you faced it, and you conquered it because you trusted in him. And we tend to live in the Christianity that says, oh, you know, if you follow God, it's just going to be all great and there's no giants. Like, look, it is going to be great and you are going to get to the promised land, but there are giants that are there first. And if you're running into a giant, it's nothing, it has nothing to do that God's forgotten about you, doesn't care about you, is punishing you, has forgotten you. Let me tell you what, you're just working out the promises of God. And that's why we need courage, because in the end, every promise of God has the opposition of Satan and the riches of the world against it. Courage is required. You know, we don't live in a world anymore that really talks about courage. I'll make a few comments about society's version of courage. But I tell you what, probably about 6-10 years ago, it turned out, life turned about not how courageous I could be, it's how critical I could be. So now life is about how critical I am. It doesn't take any courage to criticize somebody else. And so we've replaced courage with criticism. So all we do in life, you watch anything online, post any article, all the comments afterwards, everybody being critical, and eventually it just breaks down to, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. I mean, no, that's eventually what every person argues about everything that's written in media today. Because no one knows how to be courageous anymore. It doesn't take any courage to be critical. It takes a lot of courage to say, I'm going to stand in the gap and make a difference. We talked last week about being grateful. It doesn't take any courage whatsoever to complain. It takes courage to decide, you know what, I'm still going to be thankful in the middle of that. That's courage to do that. And that's what God calls us to. He calls us to a life of faith. It's a life of courage. I want you to remember what Jesus faced when he was in the desert. He was in the desert being tempted by the enemy, and the devil said to him, look, all the kingdoms of the world, everything, I own it. All this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. You know, every time you choose to go to the promised land, Satan's going to throw a few problems your way to try to convince you not to go there. And one of my greatest grieving in our society today by what we're doing with sexuality, gender, marriage, is we are teaching a generation, if there's a giant, go run away and do something else. We're teaching the next generation that where God wants us to be has no giants. And the Bible never says that. Everything that God has for you has a giant in front of it. And it's tragic when we as a government, when we as a society are teaching our kids, oh, there's a giant there? Yeah, go over here instead. Big mistake. Tragic mistake for us. And so we want to look at it. You know, we've got to remember that though God loves us, he's loving us in the midst of a broken world. You know, why, if God loved me, why am I facing this giant? If God loved me, why isn't it just easy? If God loved me, why is this so hard? It's like God's loving you in the middle of a broken world. And this world, Genesis tells us, in the curse of the fall, everything that produces life has pain to it. Everything. He says to Eve, it's only through pain you're going to give birth to children, because in this life with sin as the one who's controlling, you chose sin, and now sin rules this world, and every time you try life, sin is going to cause pain as you try to get away from it. That's what's going to happen. He tells Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Every time I see my lawn, I think of that verse. It's like, what is going on with my lawn? Amen, okay. You're feeling my pain. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the day of life. You want to produce food? You want to produce life? You want to do something that strengthens people? There's going to be a pain to it because everything in this world is pushing against that. It will only produce naturally thorns and thistles. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat. See, this world in Romans 8 says it the best. Romans 8 says, for the creation was subjected to frustration. Talking about the fall, talking about sin. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Listen to what it says next. In hope that creation itself will one day, by the sons and daughters of God being revealed through Jesus Christ, be liberated from what? Bondage to decay. This world is bound to decay. It's always what? Breaking down. Its marriages are breaking down. Your health is breaking down. My car, unless I go to Patton's Auto, is breaking down. When it goes to Patton's Auto, it's great. But, it's like things break down. Our morality breaks down. Our government breaks down. Our society polarizes and splits apart more and more. Why? Because that's how this world is. And so the God who loves you is loving you in the middle of a world that's broken to decay. So every place that God calls you to have life and to have blessing, some enemy's sitting there squatting on your spot. And if you're going to experience that blessing and if you're going to live in that, you're going to have to face a giant. And you're not going to do it without some courage. Joshua is told, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. It's yours. It's promised. It's set aside for you. But there's someone living there that's not supposed to because we live in a world where decay rules and where Satan tries to tell us to go every way but the right way. And so you're going to need some strength and some courage. Interesting study on the word strength and how it ties to courage. I mean, I really see that word strong being faith. Be strong in the faith. If you look through kind of thinking about strength and faith in the Bible. And then as a result of knowing who God is, courage is, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'll give you some definitions for courage here in a second. Now, this is really important. Graduates, super important. Grandparents, super important. All of us, this is really important in life. Joshua is a man who ends up conquering kingdoms. David is a man who conquers kingdoms. Jesus is a man who conquers every kingdom and principality. Let me tell you, in this world, because it's subject to decay, you've got to learn. You've got to learn to be victorious in three areas of life. You've got to expect it, and then you've got to say, through God, I can overcome it. First of all, you've got to learn to solve problems in life. Jesus said in John 14:33, in this world you will have what? You're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. It's a broken world. Nothing works right unless Jesus comes in and fixes it. It's all about redemption. And so we've got to understand that when we have a problem in life, and what does the world do? The world teaches us to run away from problems, okay? God wants you to learn to solve them because there are people he cares about, and someone's got to solve them. And so you've got to learn to be a person who has the right attitude about problems in your life. One of my big pet peeves in education, and Rachel could testify of this, but in our house, you are not allowed to blame your teacher for your bad grade. Well, it's my teacher. It's like, stop being such a victim. Just, like, solve the problem. Figure it out. Yeah, maybe their style isn't your style. Figure out their style. You know, you've got to be a person in this life that doesn't become a victim to problems, but learns to solve them. If you're going to get to a promised land in this life, Guess what? Problems are there. And if you're going to run away from the problems, you're going to run right into misery. Can you imagine the people of God 38 years before said, hey, that great promised land, desert's looking actually a lot nicer. Let's go be miserable for another 38 years instead. People do that. You know, if you're having a communication problem in your marriage, it's a problem to be solved. Solve the problem. If, you know, as a parent, you know what to do and I don't know how to talk to my kid, solve the problem. Because God has made you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And you've got to recognize that if you're going to take a promised land, there are just problems you're going to have to face. The greatest solution to a problem, it's called persistence. Persistence in the truth. All right? Don't give up. Don't give up. Now, don't go trying to fix it yourself. That don't work. You already tried that. All right? Milk is sour. Let's put it in the fridge. Try it again tomorrow. Still sour. What a shock. Okay? Don't do that. Trust in God. That's why Joshua is pointed to the Word of God. This is how you do it, Joshua. Right here. Meditate on this thing. I'm just casually reading it. Yeah, and then you're not seeing what I'm saying. Meditate on it. Don't move from the left or right. Yeah, but, you know, Facebook says this, and Twitter says this, and, you know, da 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 blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, this right here. This is how you're successful. You got to know this. This is how you solve the problem. Don't let the enemy take a problem and turn it into God's message in your life. You can solve it in Him. Now, there's a ton more I could say there, but I think you got to just not solve problems, but here's the biggie. You got to learn to overcome pain in your life. All right? In this world, there's going to be pain. A matter of fact, there's this really great scripture we like to talk about in Luke 9:23, where Jesus says, if anybody's going to come after me, he's going to pick up his pain and walk with it. Pick up the source of your pain. Don't run away from it. Don't curse it and try to bury it. Pick it up and let me do something with it. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. I thought, I didn't think that was, what happened to don't worry, be happy. It's like, no, there's victory here. There's more joy than you could ever imagine. But this world is subject to decay. And so it sees something like pain, and it tells you to run from it. You know, what we're seeing in our culture today, in our society today, as we look at the issues of marriage and sexuality and gender, we are looking at a society that has forgotten what the Bible says and is now making classes of people based on their pain. That's what's going on. And we're not teaching our society to deal with pain anymore. We're teaching our society to be defined by pain now. Now that's your identity. Now that's who you, that, now that's the kind of relationship you should have. Why? Because you were hurt here or because this was broken. You're in a world of decay. Of course it was broken. Now, I'm not saying that. Please forgive me. I'm not trying to say pain doesn't matter because it does. It matters so much that Jesus took the most pain of all. Jesus decided to take the pain so that you and I could be healed. I was reading Isaiah 53 where it talks about him being beaten, and I wrote down in my journal, I said, Jesus was beaten so I could be unbeaten in this life. Like, I don't have to stay defeated if I don't want to be. But I can't take on the world's mentality that every time I see a giant, I should go the other way. Man, so much more. Let me just give you this other piece, though. And what I would say with that, and one of the definitions, you can just Google this definition. Courage is strength in the face of pain. Courage has nothing to do with fearlessness. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is strength in the midst of it. Now look, I tell you what, as a parent, I never want my kids to be in pain. So I almost, as a parent, can teach my kids not to be courageous in life. Sometimes I want to undo their giants. I want to just give them something out of giants. Like sometimes as a parent, I need to remember, this is faith. You know, I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to help them succeed. But my job as a parent is not to keep them away from giants. My job is to teach them how to be courageous when they're facing them. And so that's what we do as a people, because courage is something you need if you're going to walk with God. Now, in the end, there are problems. in there and there's pain, but I tell you what there really is. There's principalities behind all of it. See, there's a spiritual war going on. There is a prince of this world, and there are powers and principalities. And you only have to look at the news to see it, okay? But what we need to recognize, if I'm going to conquer a giant, I'm not just going to solve a problem, and I'm not just going to deal with my pain. I'm going to have to learn to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ and defeat the principalities around me. And so, then notice how Paul talks about the world you and I live in. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. By the way, this is the guy who said, be joyful always, give thanks in all things. This is the guy, same guy who said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. It's built for decay. Anytime I go for life, it pulls me back, it threatens me, or tries to divert me. It tells me that the promised land has no giants in it. And it does. Because God loves me in the middle of a broken world. One day, all of this is taken care of. Jesus defeated all of it on the cross, but he doesn't destroy it until his second coming. So I live in the in-between where I've got to live by faith and courage in the midst of something he's defeated but not yet destroyed. When he comes a second time, it gets destroyed. First time, it gets defeated. He did that on the cross for you and I. So I want to give you my definition of courage, and it's this. The ability to say yes to the invisible God in the face of invincible giants that say no. That's my definition. You know, most of us don't realize that intimidation is spiritual warfare. You're feeling intimidated about something God's called you to do. You're feeling like you need to reconcile, heal, serve, but you're feeling intimidated. You're feeling like you should go back to school and get that degree. You're feeling like you should take that time and serve in that place, but you're feeling intimidated. That's called spiritual warfare. You're not feeling that because it's a neutral moment. There's the attack of the enemy in that moment trying to keep you from what God wants you to be. And you and I have to be people who say, you know what courage is when everything around me says no, but God tells yes that I say yes to. And I tell you what, the big moments don't come until you do it in the small moments, until you do it in your own home. You do it at your workplace and in your school. And I tell you, when I was in 11th grade, I got back from a winter retreat, and I was like, God, what do you want to do in my school? And I really felt like the Lord said, Sean, I want you to go every day at lunch. I want you to go in the library and read the Bible for a few minutes. You don't got to tell anybody about it. I want you to go do it. And man, I tell you what, I got in there, I was nervous as all get out. I was like, there's no way I'm bringing a Bible to school, you know? And I brought my Bible to school, and I got it past the library. Nobody else was there, so I was plenty of room. I'd read my Bible every day for a few minutes, just meet with God. I can't tell you the victories I won there, but I can't tell you how intimidated I was, how invincible to live for God in my school it felt like. And yet all I had to do was say yes to a God who was saying, I know you can't see it, Sean, but say yes. You and I have got to do it. I can't tell you how much courage it took to say, yeah, let's go do this in Ethiopia. Let's go do a clinic in the middle of a Muslim village 200 miles away from the Somali border. That's a great idea. Let's go do that. No, because sometimes God says yes when everything around you says no. And the only answer is be strong and of good courage. You know, I want to say this sensitively, but I want to say it. It's very interesting right now because our society celebrates, I want to be really sensitive here, wants to celebrate people who, you know, are learning, you know, they'll come out transgender this and the homosexual community this way, and they celebrate. Look how courageous they were. Now, in one sense, I want to say, you know what, for anybody who's treated them like a label and a piece of meat, God bless them that they can be themselves. I don't disagree with that at all. But when it comes to the issue of what true courage is, that's not biblical courage. Biblical courage is, I feel like I was born this way, but God tells me I'm this. I'm going to say yes to him instead of the millions and millions of dollars you're going to say, hey, be like that. That's courage. So you're in an interesting time of life. Because what this world says is courage is choosing sin, choosing what's not right. And I don't say that. I don't say that pridefully, and I'm not saying that because I don't hate people. I love them. I actually care a lot about what their decisions are going to mean for them. And yet someone's got to be courageous enough to say, that's not the right way. Yeah, I know the giants you're facing if you go that way and you think it's easier to go that way. You know what? There are giants here. There's just a pit there. And so we got to be people who say, what is it like to say yes to God? Now, where it comes down, and this is where we leave from inspiring to just plain determined in life. And I mean that in the grace and mercy of God. I'm not saying do it by yourself. But the Bible's really clear about how to be determined, how to be courageous. It's based on the Word of God. What does God say to Joshua? You want to be courageous? You want to get this done? You want to be able to face giants and not fail? Then don't let this Word leave your sight. Don't stop reading it. Don't stop studying it. When you want to say a bunch of other stuff, don't let the Word of God depart from your mouth. Just keep saying word stuff, okay? Don't go to the left or the right, regardless of what's happening around you. Because if you do that, then you're going to be successful. You will have victory if you follow me. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road. There is no such thing as courage without the Word of God in your life. I want you to think about that. There is no such thing as courage without the Word of God in your life. So guess what the enemy does not want you to do? He doesn't want you to know this. I'm telling you, would you see for a moment that it is not your personality, it is not your education level, it's not your schedule. It's a spiritual war, because when you get this in your life, you get courageous. You start actually facing giants instead of running away from them. And so what the enemy wants to do more than anything else is for you not to read this, is for you not to say, you know what, God, I don't know how much you're going to understand today, but I want to hear from you. And if this is your word, then I want to learn your language. You know what, man, when we go to Ethiopia, they speak Amharic there. Man, the only way I start learning it is I read it and hear it and hear it said again and hear it said. I start recognizing words when I'm there because I've started to focus on the language. You want to hear from God. You want to know that he's with you. You want to know the promises he has for you. You've got to know this. What's going on in the body of Christ today? And again, I'm very thankful for the body of Christ, so I'm not trying to be antagonistic. But let me ask you, when churches are compromising right now, why are they compromising? Because this isn't as important anymore. All right? So in other words, once I don't focus on this, then I don't have any courage to go against my culture. Do you see that? But if I hold this, then I get some courage and say, I don't know, maybe no more tax benefits. Yeah, maybe no this, that. That's fine. That's okay, because this tells me that the God that nobody can see is the one who offers true life. And I'm going to say yes to him regardless of what invincible giants are around me. We got to know this. I want to encourage you. You've got to know this. What did he tell Joshua? He said, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. 10 commandments. Wish I had time for that. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Pastor Sean, I read it once. It didn't make any sense to me. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. I ran out of room. And you'll have good success. You won't have the bad success. You'll have the good success. You have the success only God can give you. But the question is the Bible theology or reality in your life? Is it pretend or is it a priority? And I'm telling you, all of us have to grow in this area. So I'm not trying to beat you up. But I'm saying you can't have courage without this thing. And let me tell you what, you need courage. I need courage. Because the promised land God's got me to has nothing but giants in it. And if I don't hold on to this thing, I'm going to run away. I'm going to compromise and do it some other way. And God's saying, Sean, be strong and courageous. Hold on to this. I told our grads, man, I'm not trying to cut you. I'm just saying, takes no courage to go to church during high school and then stop going during college. No courage. Nothing courageous about that. All you're doing is going with the flow. But you know, it takes a little courage to say, hey, you know, in the middle of all I'm doing, I'm going to follow this. Nobody else follow me? I'm going to follow. That takes courage. It's what we need. I want to encourage you. Be strong and courageous. And then I just want to take a few moments. I've kind of said a few things here already, but let's just recognize it. First of all, what do you need to be courageous about? The first thing you need to be courageous about is salvation. You're never going to be more courageous than the moment you decide, you know what? I don't know how to stay with God. I don't know quite how to do this, but I know I need him. That's just facing the giant of your life. You know, it's just facing. It's like, I got no answer. I need him. That's called courage, to face that giant, to trust with the word of God. The Bible says no one who trusts in him will ever be put to shame. That's a promise from God if you trust in him. But it's going to take some courage for you to make that decision. It's going to take some courage that even though sometimes marriage gets rough, take some courage to say, I need to do this the right way. There's some problems that I can solve. There's some pain I need to deal with. And in the end, I really need to pray because there's an enemy who's trying to attack my marriage. You got to do those things. And then I just want us to recognize this one piece. And graduates, you're in an interesting time of life, are you not? Because Isaiah 5 tells us this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Look, you know where you're going to need courage? You're going to need courage to be a Christian in our nation because the days of it being convenient are done. So you need to recognize that what's going on is not that the church is old-fashioned. It's just it's only for the courageous. Because in the world, we've got a nation that needs us desperately. I talked a little bit last week that a nation is supposed to have a system that reflects God's freedom. It's supposed to have a culture that honors his word, leaders that submit to his authority, and people that seek him. And the Bible's supposed to show us how to do all that. And when the Bible's no longer the center, and it certainly is no longer the center, what happens next? The only thing that God uses to keep the wrath of God from the nation as a whole, you know what it is? It's called the persecuted church. That's it. It's the only thing that saves the nation that doesn't want anything to do with God anymore. It's people who are willing to be courageous to say, I'll stand in the gap and I'll take pain for life to happen. So I want to tell you, graduates, I want to tell you, grandparents, courage isn't an option anymore. Now, it's funny because we get the issue of courage and we get the issue of thinking about ourselves, and so we get angry and so we get judgmental. So we get like, oh yeah, I'm going to show them. That's not courage. That's just fear. I mean, that's just fear reacting to what you're seeing. That's not courage. Courage is, I'm going to love you when you disagree with me. I'm going to love you when you persecute me. And as Jesus showed, I'm going to love you when you kill me. That's courage. That's the kind of courage that Jesus talked about when he said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Do you know that the Bible gives thanks for persecution? Almost when persecution, when Paul ever talks about it, somehow thanksgiving is always supposed to be a part of it. Peter said in 1 Peter, he said, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of what? Glory of God rests on you. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. I wish I could go into how just looking at the Ten Commandments is so, but I want to wrap up. I want to encourage you. You know what? There's an opportunity to live like Christ in a world that's forgotten about him. But if for some reason we think church is a convenience, I told First Service, I said, how are you going to deal with it when someone rates Cornerstone Assembly of God on Yelp or Facebook and gives them one star because they don't like the theology of it anymore? You want to go to that church anymore? Maybe you don't, you know? You want to go to church where, you know, sometimes we're going to have to step up and speak some things and somebody else is not going to talk good about it. How you feel about that? Well, you know, that's an important thing for you to consider, because if we're going to be salt and light in this world, we're going to have to be courageous. we're going to have to be persecuted some. And in that, there's a chance to see God's glory. There's a chance to see His glory and to live in the promises of God. I want you to turn to someone one more time and say, be strong and courageous. Go for it. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Joshua had a moment where God said, God, guys are having so much fun. God had a moment with Joshua, said, hey, Joshua, I'm talking to you. Be strong and courageous. I think we're living in a world where there's no choice anymore. Amen. And I want to invite you to know the joy of that, the victory of that, the goodness of that. That's not bad news, it's good news. It's good news to trade the junk for what's glorious in life. I'm going to invite you to take a moment, and if there's a place in your life where you haven't really thought about, am I being courageous? I want you to take a moment and ask now, would you bow your heads? Would you let God speak to you like He spoke to Joshua? As you're seeking the Lord, the first person I want to talk to today is the person who just came in here. You don't really know Christ. You probably know church and you've got some religious background, but you have never said to Him, Lord, I need You in my life. I need to follow You. I need to get courageous about the giants in my life and that You're the only answer. The Bible says nobody who trusts in Him will ever be put to shame. That if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us. If we believe in our hearts that Jesus Himself went through death to give life, and if we go through the death of dying to ourselves, we'll find life too. Christianity can't be self-improvement and self-help. It's got to be dying to self and living the life that God always had for you. If you're here this morning and you just say, oh, Pastor Sean, I just need to make that decision that I need to live for Him. I need to say that again this morning, because honestly, I've kind of forgotten what courage is about in faith. I'm just going to ask you, if you need to make a decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I'm just going to ask you to look up at me, raise a hand so I see you this morning, and make sure that you're right with the Lord this morning. Are you here today? You need to make the most courageous decision of your life. Just look on up, raise a hand this morning. So Lord, I pray in this place that men and women of courage would be found. I pray for our graduates. They've got to have courage where they're going. Else tragedy is the fate. Lord, teach them to see like You see and hear like You hear. Help them to see the problems and solve them, see the pain and overcome it, and see the principalities and defeat them because they're in Christ. Help us as a church to walk where we're supposed to walk, to make visible a great God by being persecuted for what the world says it doesn't want to see. And when we're accused of hate, let us love better. When we're cursed, let us forgive. And let it start in our home. Don't let the enemy bring division. Help us to be humble. Help us to be loving. Help us to recognize that ploy of the enemy to stick us out in the desert and say, I've got a better answer if you follow me. Lord, we're going to follow You. Help us to be very gracious and loving to everyone who disagrees with us, who accuses us of wrong. Help us to be like You. Holy Spirit, we cannot do it without Your power. And like Joshua, we need to hear a fresh new way. I am with You always. Lord, follow us, and as tomorrow we open up the Word of God, speak to us afresh and anew and teach us how to solve the problems of the day, heal from the pain of the past, and Lord, absolutely have victory over the principalities that want to claim our tomorrows. We believe it all We believe all that you are able to do. No good thing will you withhold from those who love you. Those who delight in the Lord will get the desires of their heart. Lord, thank you for offering us great blessing and promised lands in the midst of a world so broken and bound by decay. Guard our hearts, guard our households. Let us shine like